A popular objection to the necessity of baptism involves salvation and works. People often say, but baptism is a work and we're not saved by works. To support this objection, they appeal to passages like Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Certainly, baptism is a thing done, and as such, is a work. But is it a work of merit by which one earns salvation? Or is it a work of faith by which one receives salvation? In considering the work involved in baptism, who is truly the one at work? Is it the man or woman who submits to being immersed? Or is it God who forgives and regenerates through the blood of Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit? So when we carefully consider what the Bible teaches, there is no contradiction between the idea that we are saved by faith and not by works, and at the same time, saved by baptism. So in this study, I hope that we can make clear what this argument actually is. So I want to begin by pointing out that baptism is a work of faith. It is not a work of merit. And there are different kinds of works. There are works of merit. These are works that are done to earn something. Those who have done such works believe they deserve something. For example, those who believe they will be saved because they kept the Ten Commandments, or because they went to church, or they did good deeds, or the list goes on. It is these kinds of works that Paul has under consideration when he wrote Romans chapter 3, verses 27 and 28. He says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." And we go back to Ephesians 2 in verses 8 and 9, where he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And he wrote to the young preacher Titus in chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, where he says, "But when kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." There's no way we can earn or merit salvation. All the good that we might do cannot outweigh even one sin, according to James 2 and verse 10. But there are also works of faith. These are things done to receive something. Those who have done such works believe they deserve nothing. They understand their obedience did not earn or merit their salvation. They also understand that their salvation rests upon the mercy and grace of God, not because God owes it to them. And such works can rightly be called works of God, of which faith itself is called by Jesus in John 6, verses 28 and 29. There he said to them, or they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me." Other works of faith commanded by God include repentance and confession. In Acts 17 and verse 30, Luke writes there, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." And Paul would write in Romans 10 verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, though such works as faith, repentance, and confession are commanded, they are not a meritorious work. We don't earn salvation through them. They are works of God that he has ordained we do to receive salvation. When all is said and done, salvation is still according to God's grace and mercy. So what is said of faith, repentance, and baptism may also be said of confession may also be said of baptism. Baptism is a work of faith, not merit. Baptism requires faith, though. The necessity of faith was emphasized by Jesus in Mark's account of the Great Commission in Mark 16 and verse 16. Philip made it a prerequisite to baptism in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. And baptism is an act of faith by which one receives, not earn, salvation. The forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 and verse 38. Also, which we receive a union with Christ in His death and raised with Him to a new life. Paul writes in Romans 6 verses 3 and 4, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Paul also would write in Galatians 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That baptism is not a work of merit, and it's emphasized in Titus 3 verses 4 and 5. That while God saves us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which is an allusion to baptism, He does not save us by works of righteousness. In other words, by works of merit. So, baptism is clearly not some work of righteousness done to earn or merit salvation. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it suggest that baptism is a work of merit, by which God owes us salvation upon the basis of our baptism. Like faith, repentance, and confession, baptism is simply an act of faith by which we receive salvation. And why is this so? Well, it's because baptism involves the working of God. God is at work in baptism. We are buried and raised with Christ, according to Colossians 2 and verse 12, through faith in the working of God. And it is God who does the work, not man, verse 13 of Colossians 2. Man is dead in his sins, but God makes him alive, forgiving him of his sins. So, it is God who saves us, not we ourselves, which He has done through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, what we read in Titus 3 and verse 5. So, think of baptism as a spiritual operation, an operation in which the great physician does his work. When one needs physical surgery, it requires faith, a faith in the skills of a physician or doctor to submit to him working on us on the operating table. When the surgery is over, have I earned or merited my healing? No. It required both faith in the doctor and a willingness to submit to him. So, my faith in God and in the death of His Son for my sins prompted me to submit to the spiritual operation of baptism, wherein God did His wonderful work by cleansing me, by the blood of Jesus and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. So, as we close out this lesson, we understand that baptism is a work of faith. It's not a work of merit. It is a working of God at which time we receive salvation, not earning salvation. And we will not reject the necessity of baptism under the mistaken idea that it is some work by which we try to earn salvation. You know, it's sad, but many people reject baptism. They turn away from it because they see it as something you do, where in reality, baptism is the most passive act of faith required to receive Christ and the blessings that He provides. Just like believe, repent, confess Christ, all are things that we do. And on the other hand, baptism is something done to us. Consider this. Faith, repentance, and confession are all active acts of faith on our part. Baptism is a passive act of faith in which we submit to the working of God in our lives. Colossians 2 and verse 12. To object to baptism because it requires man to do something would require one to object to faith, to object to repentance, to object to confession, because they also require man to do something. You know, even Martin Luther, who coined the phrase salvation by faith only, understood that salvation by grace through faith did not preclude the necessity of baptism. In answer to the question, what gifts or benefits does baptism bestow? He replied in his small catechism, it affects forgiveness of sins. He also wrote concerning the sinner, through baptism he is bathed in the blood of Christ and is cleansed from sins. And he also wrote, to put it most simply, the power, effect, benefit, fruit, and purpose of baptism is to save. Responding to those who call this kind of works salvation, he said, yes, it is true that our works are of no use for salvation. Baptism, however, is not our work, but God's. So, to those who say baptism is a work and we're not saved by works, I would reply, baptism is a work of God. And we are saved by faith in the working of God. Now, the million-dollar question is this. Have you submitted to the working of God in baptism? If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, have you repented of your sins? And are you willing to confess your faith in Him as the Son of God? You can receive the working of God in your life today if that's the case. You know, Saul was asked, and as he recounted his own baptism later as Paul, in Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias came to him and says, now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why are you waiting? If you agree with this lesson, why would you wait? Why would you delay in responding to the message? It may be that you disagree with this lesson. And for the life of me, I don't know why. I don't know why you would disagree with the truth that's being taught. You know, I'm amazed. I meet some of you out in public, and you tell me that you listen faithfully to this radio program. And here I preach lessons on baptism and things of this nature, and you don't practice what's being preached in the scriptures. And yet you tell me you listen faithfully, and when I ask you why, you say because you're preaching the truth. Well, there's a contradiction here. If you are still practicing your religion, your denominational faith, and you think that I'm preaching the truth, there's something wrong in your life. You need to study the scriptures, and I would be glad and willing to sit down with you and study those scriptures. If you think I'm wrong in this and you'd like to discuss this lesson or other lessons with me, bring your Bible. We'll sit down and we'll discuss what's been taught. If you'd like to email me to set that up, my email address is djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. We'll be having a gospel meeting at Eastside this week, beginning today and going through Thursday night, with Brother Paul Smithson from the Westwood Congregation in Tullahoma. We'd love to have you. Monday through Thursday night is 7 p.m. each night. Thank you for being with me.